Hi, this is Stan Collymore.
And you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick and I'm joined by Richard Hudson.
Hello.
And we're also joined by Nads from the forum. Hi, Nads.
Hi, Tebs. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. So we're doing a special show this week as it's the winter break in most European leagues. We're going to talk about the European season so far. And yeah, basically where we think things are going to go. So I guess we'll start with the Bundesliga, the German league. And there's only one team we can start by talking about, and that's Red Bull Leipzig. Currently second in the table, and they've had a fantastic start to the season. But I know they've been labelled as the German MK Dons, and they're not very well liked.
Well, they're not Red Bull Leipzig, are they? They're Rasenball Sport.
Yeah, because the sponsorship, there's different laws on sponsorship in Germany, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, whatever you want to call them, RB Leipzig is their official name in the table anyway. But yeah, what do you make of them? Do you think it's fair to be that they're a hated club like they are?
Well, they get round all the rules, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
The German clubs are meant to have a 51% ownership by the fans, and most clubs like Dortmund do it by the membership costs something like £17 to join as a member. For Leipzig, it's over £1,000 to become a member. And it, pretty much everybody that is a member is an employee of Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
They're turning up at games, and I've heard that they've had like severed bulls' heads thrown at them, and they're not a liked club.
No. I know they've spent quite a bit of money, but when you look at their signings, they've signed quite a lot of young players. I know the one which will stand out to a lot of people listening is Oliver Burke, who played for Nottingham Forest, the Scottish winger. But throughout the side, there's quite a lot of young players within there. I'm sure you've got a few who stood out for you.
Oh yeah, the quality of that side throughout. We do a fantasy football team between us on the forum. And I went and snaffled quite a few of their players. I think the average age of the team is something like 22 or something ridiculous. It's a quality side throughout. And it's great to see a young side mixing it up against Munich, sort of ruffling the feathers a bit, really. But as an outsider to the German league.
Yeah. What do you think about the team, Nads?
Well, Red Bull... Everyone likes Red Bull, that's it. But no one likes the team. And that's what I think, Jeff. But they have to be doing somewhere well to be second in the league. They must be like doing like the Leicester. No one expected them to do so well in the Premiership. But in the German league, it's them or Bayern Munich. And they're like surprising everyone. You have to give it to them, though. Even Lube or hate them, they are in second place.
Yeah.
So. That's what it is. They have got some quality players.
I think their manager as well, Ralf Hasenhüttl, he's been suggested as the next Arsenal boss, possibly at the end of the season, if Arsene Wenger leaves.
Very understandable. The money that they've got there, I think they've invested something like 100 million Red Bull in the club since this started. Was it only something ridiculous like 7 years ago?
Yeah, it's only recently, isn't it? And they've won.
Kings club before. It wasn't like they're a totally new club. But they basically changed the stadium, the badge. Did like a Vincent Tan, but did it well.
I think it was 5 promotions in 7 seasons or something. I don't have the stat to hand, but I think it was something like that.
But you look through the squad that they've got, and they're becoming names now, but they were all pretty much unknown players.
Yeah.
Before this season, you know, like Sabitzer and Keita, Forsberg, Orban. Kazakhstan, etc. That, you know, they're all looking very good players, but who knew these lot 12 months ago?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll move on. We'll talk about Bayern Munich. We obviously have to, if we're talking anything about German football. Obviously, they're top of the league. They play Leipzig midweek, as we've mentioned. Nads, I'll start with you. What did you think of Ancelotti coming in and replacing Guardiola?
Well, Guardiola after his season, I think Guardiola did pretty good at Bayern Munich, but he could have done better. And Ancelotti was, I did not want him to leave Real Madrid personally.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job at Real Madrid. And the fans, they were getting at him a bit. And I think he does suit Bayern Munich, the style. But he has to change the mindset because they've been playing Bayern Munich, they've been trying to play Pep Guardiola style for the past couple of years. And every time a new manager does come in, he has a different strategy, different mindset. And Ancelotti, I think he's mostly focused on defensive part of the game, and then attacking wise, all Italian coaches are. And yeah. I think Bayern Munich, I think they've been doing pretty good this season, but all new teams with new managers, they need a bit of time to settle in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's good for the excitement of the league that because Borussia Dortmund and the other big clubs in the Bundesliga have faltered a bit, and that's allowed Bayern and Leipzig to be 9 points clear. I just want to talk about Dortmund as well. Dortmund, Thomas Tuchel's obviously replaced Jurgen Klopp, but they've had a bit of a mixed season. They're only fifth in the table.
They're really struggling, aren't they? It's they just don't seem to. They seem to sort of win one, lose one, not just getting into gear at all. There's a good bunch of players there, but you worry how long some of those players are going to stay there. Aubameyang looks pretty nailed on to going to Real Madrid next summer.
Mm.
Bayern Munich usually steal one player every summer from the club. I think Pulisic's been heavily linked with Liverpool. If they don't finish high up this season, I worry for some of the team there.
Do you think with Dortmund, though, as well, in the summer they signed a lot of young players, and they've obviously got a decent academy. They always bring through decent players as well. Do you think that will help them, stand them in good stead?
It should go long-term-wise, but the problem is with football, teams don't tend to look that long-term anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You have one bad season and quickly the players start looking at attractive offers, the manager gets removed, a new guy comes in and changes things around again. So if they can weather the storm, then yeah, great. But hopefully there's not that short-termism there.
Mm-hmm. Another side who were terrific last season, Mönchengladbach, Borussia Mönchengladbach, they're only 13th in the table as well. Obviously, they finished in the Champions League places last season. Because they were in that group, we all must have saw some of it with City, Barcelona, and Celtic. I guess getting into the Europa League is an achievement for them, but poor season domestically. Do you think the loss of Xhaka to Arsenal is a big loss for them, and do you think they can recover and get into Europe next season?
I think you're looking at the Bundesliga at the moment, and the likes of Gladbach are suffering. Wolfsburg are only 1 point off the relegation space. Werder Bremen are down there. Augsburg, who had a good season last season, are struggling. Even Schalke were in the mid-table mix. And then you look up at the top and you've got teams that haven't traditionally been in the mix for the last few years. Like Hereford, obviously Leipzig, Köln up there.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a topsy-turvy season in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
Apart from the top two, you could see anyone finishing in the next few places.
Yeah.
Well, Bayern Munich, Borussia Mönchengladbach, since last season, Xhaka has been their main player for the past 2 or 3 years, and any team that loses the best player, they do tend to struggle, they don't sign anyone else. But I think the main team that we should think about is still Borussia Dortmund. What I think personally is like since Klopp left Dortmund, they like have to change their play style a bit. Like they have like Klopp, you know how Klopp plays, high pressure and all that. And like Tuchel, he's been trying to replicate it, but I don't think he can like play, personally play to like how they could play when Klopp was there. Like if you see Dortmund's form in the Champions League, it is like really good if you think about it. They like gave Real Madrid that game as well. If I think like if Real Madrid do get knocked out of the Champions League, if they do, Dortmund are my like second choices to win the Champions League this season.
Okay. Just two other things I want to mention. Obviously, Hero touched on it with Wolfsburg really struggling. They're down 15th. Dieter Hecking was sacked earlier in the season, just to mention that. And also at Hoffenheim, who are third in the table and they remain unbeaten. They've only won 6 games out of 15, but you know, 9 draws, a lot of draws when they're unbeaten and third. So, and they've really overachieved this season.
Regards to Hoffenheim, I think the unbeatenness, a big factor in that is a player we know that Nads is keen on this season. Is Nicolas Sulo.
Oh yeah, I think he could be like one of the best centre backs in the world in the next couple of years if he's like developed right. If he doesn't join a bit low this early, yeah, I know he's like 22 or something like that. But I think if he stays for 2-3 more years, Hoffenheim, I think he'll develop into one of the best in the world.
I know he's been linked heavily at the moment with a few of the bigger clubs around Europe. I know Bayern are even sniffing around him.
All right. Well, we'll move on to La Liga then. We'll obviously start with Real Madrid for Nads. It's been a great start to the season. Now unbeaten, top of the table. It's been incredible, an incredible turnaround since Zidane took over from Benitez, I'd say.
It's been a perfect season so far. The only like downside is Gareth Bale's injury and all that. But I think you could have asked for more. Could have finished top of the table in the Champions League, but that's not a big deal. But top of La Liga, a couple of points ahead, taken points over Atletico Madrid and Barcelona. I think Barcelona have been struggling. That's why like Real Madrid have to like get a bit of an advantage, because every time Real Madrid will, I think second half of the season, they always tend to slip up a bit. But if they get a bit of an advantage over Barcelona, I think they do. Win La Liga at least. That's been the main focus on the year. I've been talking to a lot of Real Madrid fans. They want to win mostly La Liga because it's been a couple of years since they won it, and like every time they've been seeing Barcelona win it or Atletico Madrid win it. But Real Madrid's main priority is La Liga this season, then it's Champions League.
I saw one stat about Real Madrid early on today that in 2016, they played 53 games. They've lost twice.
Yeah, I've got the same stat written here.
That's stunning.
It's an incredible record. We've got to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo as well. He's saying it's his best ever year. And, well, I guess who can blame him? Obviously, not only great success with Real Madrid, but also with Portugal.
I think Ronaldo,
like, this year, he has to change his play style a bit, because we know he's getting on a bit now, and like I think he's been drifted more infield this year, more than last season, and like he's more of a number 9, more like drifting in as a striker per se. And like on the wings, like Ronaldo, I think to admit it, a lot of people are saying like he doesn't have the legs to play on the wings anymore, and like he needs to change his game a bit, may play more centrally, and that's why I think he could get a couple more goals, but I think like he's lost the other two of pace. But I think like playing as a striker will make him like a bit more better of a player.
Yeah, the speed's starting to slow down a bit, but still, what a player.
Mm. Well, with Zidane as well, he's the first manager who's had Ronaldo, who's actually dropped him, but rested him and rotated the team, which I think is a big factor in Real Madrid's success. I know Guillaume Ballard, the Sky Sports guy, was saying that.
Yeah, they've swapped about, one of the players that I heavily rated last season, Casemiro. I know he's had a bit of an injury this season, but like the likes of him and Vasquez, even like Kovacic. Is it Kovacic? However you pronounce
Kovacic.
It. Like some of them coming into the team a bit more, and it keeps them the like the main sort of first team fresh and for the bigger games then.
All right, we'll move on and we'll discuss obviously their big rivals, Barcelona. I was reading that people are saying Messi is at his highest ever level and he's had his best season. He's scored 12 goals. Him and Suarez have got 12 each. Do you think Barcelona though this season are more reliant on their front three of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar? I know Nance touched on it before about them struggling a bit.
Yeah, I think their defence at times has looked pretty shaky. They're sort of becoming back to that Barcelona of where they have to outscore their opponents. Losing Iniesta for a while was a bit of a loss to them. And I think Rakitic has been struggling for a bit. Dennis Suarez is starting to get a bit of time for the team, so he's a player I very much like. Hopefully he'll get more chance in that midfield for them.
I really think Iniesta has been a bit loss for them. Iniesta is like the biggest. I don't really think Messi, Suarez, and Neymar, they might be like the world class players, like getting your team. But Iniesta, he's what makes them tick. And like, when Iniesta will retire in the next couple of seasons, I think Barcelona will struggle a lot without him. It's like, you cannot see him. Every time you see him play, the way he keeps the ball. If I had one Barcelona player to choose from, wouldn't be Messi, Neymar, or Suarez. I would definitely choose Iniesta. He's the only player that I would choose that would go into Real Madrid. The rest are all right, but Iniesta is what makes Barcelona. When Xavi retired, when Xavi left Barcelona, that's like one or two originals left, and Iniesta's the last one.
Okay. The other team who obviously are almost one of the big three now, Atletico Madrid. They've obviously had a few great seasons. They've been struggling recently. They've lost three games in the last six, and they've fell away a bit. I know they were close to the top two, but now they're down to six. Are they sort of reaching the end of an era?
I think this is the beginning of the end for Simeone there. Like he extended his contract initially, didn't he, with the club, and then he reduced it by 2 years to be ending in 2018. I would be surprised if he's still there in 2018. I think he's been tempted now. I think he's one eye is on a new job.
Do you think Simeone will get like a top job at, you know, say like a, you know, Bayern or a Man United or, you know, probably not Real Madrid, but you know, one of them elite clubs.
I know that Inter Milan have got a lot of money in them. Some of the Italian clubs are starting to get a bit of cash to him. I think he's been tempted by going back to Inter Milan. There's a lot of rumours linking him there.
Yeah.
And I think he's on his.
Yeah.
Well, I think as soon as he goes, I think Griezmann's on his way as well.
Yeah. He's obviously a major player. I know. I think he was Ballon d'Or. I think he was top five.
He was third. He didn't have like half the number of votes that Ronaldo got. I think Ronaldo won the Ballon d'Or by the biggest margin on record.
Mm.
But I think he was ahead of the rest of the chasing pack, like fourth and etc. by quite a distance.
Yeah, I was just saying that Atletico Madrid like the least team that have like a plan B, like Barcelona, Real Madrid, whenever you see them play, they normally have a plan B. But Atletico Madrid is mostly about solid defending, and then like if you get lucky, score a goal with Griezmann, Carrasco, and all these attacking players. That's why I think Simeone is like, you need to change his mindset. You can't play defensive football every single match, even against lower teams. That's what he's been doing. And that's why he's been struggling this season. He needs to like play more attacking wise, change his mindset. And like, I think it's okay at the start when he was doing it, but his mindset, like how he was playing. But as like the type of players that he has got, you need to play more like attacking wise, in my opinion.
I think
that's been one of the main problems.
I think with Atletico, they're really enjoyable to watch in short phases. Like if you watch them play a Barcelona or Real Madrid or whoever, if you watch them play a big team and get a result in the Champions League or something, it's very entertaining to watch. But to watch it week in, week out must be horrible.
It's lovely seeing them frustrate Barcelona.
Mm.
When like Barcelona's attack just hits that wall of Atletico players. And just Barcelona for years have just been the masters of professional fouls. You know, because they always sort of best high up the pitch and they always seem to give up. If the other team launched a counter-attack, they were just the experts at doing a professional foul in the opposition half, so there was, you know, it wasn't even a yellow card. And it's just nice to see a team give Barcelona a bit of a kicking.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll move on from Atletico, and the final team I want to talk about, Sevilla, currently third in the table, a point off Barcelona. They obviously lost their manager, Unai Emery. We'll come on to him later at PSG, but they brought in the former Chile manager, George Sampaoli. Made a very good start, and they've obviously replaced their manager well.
Well, who'd have thought a midfield of Steven Nzonzi and Sami Nasri would be absolutely storming it? You look at those two players and you think, well, they're relegation level, a pairing in central midfield, and they've been smashing it.
Mm.
Both of them have been an absolute revelation for the club.
As Hido said, Nzonzi and Nasri, they've been like the shiny light this year. So I think I always rated Nzonzi when he was at Stoke. Mm. I think he was like too good for Stoke. I think he could have been playing at Chelsea or the Manchester United. I think he would have done their job. And I rate him highly. I think he's like a good defenseman. Keeps it ticking, strong in the air, physical. And Nasri, I think he could have stayed at Manchester City, but like they wanted to loan him out. And if it is a new like chapter in his life, moving to a different club and like starting again. And I think like Nasri is been if Man City. I think he could make the deal permanent at the end of the season if Man City let him. But I think Sevilla should finish at least top four this season. I don't think they'll finish ahead of Barcelona in second, but definitely third or fourth.
Who do you think?
I mean, the one player especially for that has looked very good for them is it Vitolo?
Mm, the winger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's been exceptional for them this season.
Mm-hmm. So, what would you say is the top four prediction? Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, and Sevilla.
Yeah, that's what I think. Let's see what Hero thinks. I hope Real Madrid number one.
I can't look at apart from Real Madrid for finishing top this season, but mm-hmm. just the consistency levels. Barcelona can't touch them for that at the moment. Yeah, I'd say Sevilla finish third. I think Atletico might struggle to get that fourth spot.
All right.
But I don't know who'd get it. I don't know. You know, Villarreal looking good. Even Sociedad, after the David Moyes era, starting to look a much better team.
Mm-hmm. The other team as well, with a British manager last season, Valencia, they're struggling again this season. In 17th place, one above the relegation zone. Was he sacking, getting rid of Gary Neville's not the answer for them?
That's just an odd side, Valencia nowadays.
Well, they were once like a top side in Spain, weren't they? Like a top four sort of level side.
Well, and even, you look through that squad and it's one of those squads that, like when you have the English Premier League and you have like a Newcastle or West Ham and you get relegated, and it's like, oh, that's too good a side to get relegated, and then they get relegated. And that's what you look at Valencia, but there's just something deeply wrong with that. Like, their entire team from sort of top to bottom and through the fan base, such a vicious fan base at that club.
It does make you wonder if, a bit like Newcastle, though, mention whether getting relegated could be a good thing for them to come up. I know it was only recently they were playing in the Spanish second division, wasn't it? Or was that Villarreal?
Villarreal dropped down just not too long ago.
All right. But yeah, my point stands though. At Valencia, maybe it would be a good thing for them to get relegated and come back stronger.
It perhaps give the fans a bit more of a touch of realism and knock them into gear a bit.
Yeah.
I think a big problem with that club is the fan base.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from the Spanish League. Just one final thing I want to mention is obviously Sevilla. Unfortunately, won't be able to win the Europa League this year as they manage to get out of their Champions League group, and they play Leicester in the next round. So that should be a good tie.
It's a bit of a shame actually on for Sevilla, because I imagine they would have quite liked to have won it a fourth time. But I'm sure the consolation of potentially winning the Champions League won't go down too badly for them.
Yeah. We'll move on to Serie A, unless there's anything else anyone wants to mention on La Liga.
No, Ronaldo for Petrucci. Real will come back and win second place, and Messi will hopefully finish, who knows, maybe last.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll move on to Serie A, and top of the table. Fantastic start to the season, Juventus. And I believe they set a record at the weekend for 25 home games, home wins on the trot, which is a new league record, I believe. Top of the table, and despite losing Paul Pogba, they look pretty much unstoppable at the top of the league.
They're untouchable, aren't they now, Juventus in Serie A? Like, we look at the likes of Bayern Munich in Germany and how they dominate now. And Juventus, for the last few years in Italy, have been doing the same. Last year was the year that they were run close for quite a while. They had an awful start, but this year they've just come out of the traps running, and yeah, they're already 7 points ahead of Roma in second.
Yeah. Nads, I want to ask you, what do you think of Higuain, obviously, formerly at Real Madrid, and he moved to Juventus for a massive fee. Do you think he's one of the top strikers and justifies that kind of fee?
Definitely. I know, like, when he left Napoli and he signed for Juventus, everyone was like, no, he's not worth that much money. That's a bit too much for Higuain. And Real Madrid sold him for about 40 million to Napoli. Napoli have made double the money on him, sold him to Juventus for nearly 80 million. And I think he's been great value for money so far. One of the best in the world. And, like, if I had him, I would personally have him over Benzema at Real Madrid, but Benzema suits Real Madrid more for Higuain. Higuain's more of a pure finisher, clinical striker. Benzema is like helps the team like come together, brings more players together. But Higuain for me is the best striker in the world.
Very very good praise of him there. One of the best defenders in the
world. I don't know if you, I'd disagree on. I think you could stick like anybody up at the front of the Juventus attack at the moment, and they're going to end up one of the top scorers in the league.
Hmm. I think it's
Higuain for 80 million for a 29-year-old who often carries a few extra pounds. Yeah. I mean, he's not been down the gym much.
It's one of those, though. I think if you were to ask the average fan what they think of Higuain, I think most people would not put him in a bracket with, say, Aguero or Suarez, for instance, and they'd say he's not quite at their level.
Well, you look across the league. Serie A can make like good strikers look amazing.
Mm.
I think you like Zeko, how he's doing at Roma at the moment. At City, he was one of them sort of strikers that needed five chances to score one goal.
Mm-hmm.
And City absolutely fans used to despair when he came on, because they knew they'd have to have so many shots before they'd get a goal from him.
Mm-hmm.
The striker that I think is the jewel, well, he's known as the jewel for Juventus, the one that's coming back from injury at the moment, that's Dybala, who I've thinks potential world class. I know another one that Real Madrid's been very keen on in the last sort of couple of years.
Yeah. Just talking about, you mentioned Roma, obviously Dzeko's been banging the goals in for Roma. and Napoli as well. I know Dries Mertens has been playing up front and he's scored a hatful of goals. Do you think either of them can compete with Juve, or is it all over? Juve are almost certainly going to win the league.
I think it could be between Napoli and Roma for fighting for seconds, but I can't see beyond Juve for top.
Well, it has to be Juve. Now, looking at the table, let's see. They are how many points ahead?
Seven ahead of Roma.
Seven ahead. And, yeah, seven ahead, that seems a bit too much. And that's Juventus have to lose another two games, that is. And they only lost three so far in the opening 17 games. Mm. So, it depends.
It was a big win at the weekend against Roma. Yeah. I think if that had gone the other way around, then it'd have given a chance to all the other clubs. But that was a big, big win for Juventus at the weekend.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about the Milan clubs. Both of them brought in new managers in the summer. We'll start with Inter Milan, who are seventh in the table. Roberto Mancini was replaced by Frank De Boer. It was in August. It was very close to the start of the season when it happened. But yeah, in seventh place and a sort of middling club under De Boer.
Yeah, he only lasted 85 days. They went and bought in the Lazio manager, Pioli.
I think Mancini, since leaving, I don't think Mancini is like a really, really top manager. I think if you give him the funds, like the Man City, he will do the job. But Inter Milan, they've been struggling for the past 2-3 years, nearly for the past 4-5 years now as well. But I think the main goal of Inter Milan should be to qualify for Europe at least per season once. Both of the Milan clubs, but there are some pretty good teams in Serie A. I think after Roma and Napoli, after the top three, Juventus, Roma, Napoli, it's like really tight at the table. Lazio, AC Milan, Atlanta, Inter Milan, Fiorentina, any one of them teams could play in like Europe next season. That's what Inter Milan and AC Milan should try and do, but it depends on mostly on the. But I don't think Mancini is a top manager in my opinion. But Inter Milan, they have got some pretty good players. Adair and all these lot. But AC Milan are in fifth so far. Mm. And I think they're only 3 points, 2 points behind Roma in second place, AC Milan. They're not out of the title, they're just yet AC Milan. But I think AC Milan could definitely finish in second or third.
I think Milan have looked better this season for sure, and Montella's obviously coming as their manager, and they definitely look better to me, and especially their goalkeeper, Donnarumma, the young goalkeeper. He's been incredible since he came in as a 16-year-old.
Well, I remember I bought him on the Fantasy League at the beginning of last season for something like £500,000 in the little game that we play, and I think his value now is probably, if he was to be sold in real life, he'd probably go down as the most expensive goalkeeper of all time.
Mm-hmm.
If he was to do a transfer. But I think both Milan clubs, well, I know Inter Milan's come into quite a bit of money. I think KC Milan, I think they may have a bit of cash, have they, this summer?
They did spend a reasonable amount, I think.
So I think they're both in a transition period after a few years of having a bit of going into doldrums. Like Inter Milan, obviously, after Mourinho was there and they won the Champions League, they started to slip down a bit. And AC Milan, for a club of its stature, you know, it's one of the biggest clubs in Europe, really, for like Champions League wins and just the name of the club. I think they're starting to sort of awaken as a sleep. From being a sleeping giant.
I want to ask about Italy in general, the whole of Serie A. You've sort of touched on it about being better financially. Do you think that the Italian league can become a better league and do more? I know because, as we say, there's more money. I think they're doing a better job holding on to all their big players, obviously Pogba being the exception to that, but players like Higuain, like Bonucci signing a new contract and so on. And also there's the possibility that they may end up with four Champions League slots soon. Do you think Serie A is a league on the rise?
It can't have gone as low as it did in the last sort of 10, 15 years. I remember back in the 90s, Serie A was the league in Europe. You know, Channel 4 on a Sunday afternoon, everybody would be watching the Gazzetta for the games there. And yeah, they were buying the best players in the world. And the money moved away from the leagues. They had all the corruption scandals where Juventus getting sent down a division. I think most of the clubs in Italy were embroiled in it. And in fact, they're having to clean up the image of the league, but it's only going to stay quiet for so long. And I think the money's starting to go in, and they're going to be challenging the big names now.
I think the top two, Juventus, Napoli, and who was it? Roma. They could challenge for Europe every year. Out of them top two, then it's like mid-tier teams, and I think they definitely deserve top four for the Champions League. I think, like, you look at the other leagues, and like they are, like, I think the top four of them are superior to the top four in other leagues. I think you look at the German league that has Bayern Munich, that has Leverkusen, that has Dortmund, and I think, like, those are the two main ones. And for like the Premiership, it's more, Premiership will always have four spots, and the Spanish is Real, Barca, and Atletico, and like I think like some leagues, I think they don't deserve four spots, and I think Serie A definitely deserves four spots.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that. Talk about the French league, League One. We'll start with PSG, obviously the biggest side there. They've struggled a bit this season. They obviously they got rid of their manager Laurent Blanc and brought in Unai Emery, who's got a very good reputation, as we mentioned earlier in the show. But only third in the table, and they've lost four games this season, which for PSG is a lot of games, especially as I believe they only lost once last season in the league.
Yeah, and you look like who they've got Champions League draw wise, and you think, yeah, that could be an early exit there. If they lose that game in the Champions League, if the manager's not already gone at that point, then he will be gone. Because a team of PSG's standing, how many points did they win the league by last season?
A lot, weren't it?
Didn't they win the league in March or something ridiculous?
Mm. Yeah.
And now this season they're struggling in third.
What do you think of the losses of the players, Nads? Like with Ibrahimovic obviously joining United and David Luiz joining Chelsea, do you think those two players leaving has a big impact on the side?
I think mostly, like if you look at Cavani's goal records this season, it's not bad. It's pretty good. I think he's got 17 so far this season. But I think mostly it's the defence. I think like Thiago Silva is world class, but he is like 33 years old now, and I think like they need one more world class centre back partner, Marquinhos. In my opinion, they got a really good midfield with Verratti, Matuidi, and mostly I think like I've been following Jess Hesse for this season, and he hasn't been playing a lot for PSG, and he's been like. Tolkien said that if I wanted to stay on the bench, I would have just stayed out there at the gym. I didn't come to join join PSG to play on the bench. And I think for me, they need another centre back. Buy another good centre back. I think even they could even buy Nicolas Sule from Hoffenheim. And they have the money and like someone long term replacement for Thiago Silva, partner Marquinhos in the middle. Centre back, that's like one of the world's best centre back partnership for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And I think like up front, Cavani has been scoring goals, but I think it's like I think Ibrahimovic, when he was there last season, that was like more evasion. He could like bring other players into the game, make sure they don't put their heads down, so they don't slack off. And like Ibrahimovic is like the psychological factor. Now that he's not in the dressing room after players are properly happy a bit, like saying, oh, Hitler's not here anymore. He's not doing our heading anymore. Probably stuff like that. You never know what George and Jesse doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Ibrahimovic was obviously going to be a huge loss. Like his record speaks for himself with the number of trophies he's won at every single club he's been at.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest loss, which has been a huge surprise, and what Naz has pushed up, mentioned, was at centre-back with David Luiz. Seen how he's come back into the Premier League and just stormed it at Chelsea. And then you see that really at PSG, they're missing a centre-back now.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go on to some of the success stories rather than dwelling on PSG. Nice, top of the table, and they had a long unbeaten record. They've only lost once all season. And Mario Balotelli's playing well for them, surprisingly.
He's just been amazing for the club.
Yeah.
And that's just sort of shows with a player like him that he's always had that world-class potential. He just needed the right team to be at. And perhaps Nice aren't going to be challenging for best club in the world anytime soon. But if it just gets him in the right frame of mind and he feels comfortable in himself, then he could be back up there as one around.
Do you think?
They had Nice like last season. I thought like Nuno Magalhães, Ben Arthur, he was at Nice and he revived his career there. And he moved to like this season after the early good season for PSG. He moved for Nice. He moved to PSG, and like I think Balotelli, really good season, and like I think he took another big move to a big club. But I think like Nice are like being underrated. They've been like rejuvenating a lot of players' careers. And like if a player is like flopping this season, I think they should definitely consider moving to Nice to rejuvenate their career. Good work.
Do you think with Balotelli though in particular, I think I agree with what Nads was saying about Ben Arthur, it's a very good point, but do you think that Balotelli in particular with his mental state, do you think telling him you're the star, you're the main man of this team, and all that, do you think that really helps him?
Oh yeah, he loves to be the centre of attention, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So at a club where he can be that. He can be the star rather than when he's been at the likes of City or Liverpool and he's just been another piece of the jigsaw. And often he's been the wrong piece of the jigsaw that doesn't fit and sort of makes the rest of the jigsaw like completely mucked up. He's just storming it. Good to him as well, because what I've heard about Balotelli is that off the pitch, he's the nicest footballer going.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to talk about Monaco as well. Monaco are second in the league. And there's been a few questions I know about their funding because, just a few years ago, there was like this suggestion they sort of had unlimited amounts of money, but now it seems a bit more unclear. But they've built a very young side there. But one player in particular who's really stood out, Falcao, who's in very good scoring form at the moment. Another striker who's sort of rejuvenated his career with a move to France. And yeah, second in the table. And looking very strong for them.
Yeah, well, apart from sort of Falcao, it's one of them again. Like what I said about Serie A, is that if you get a player that is struggling, if you stick him in a weaker league, then a striker can suddenly look amazing again. And he's how many goals has he scored for them this season?
Falcao has scored 10 goals so far. In 10 goals in only 6 appearances, so more than a goal a game.
That's an incredible record.
You look at the rest of their squad and there's some very... They seem to just keep bringing through very exciting attacking wingers at the moment, Monaco.
Bernardo Silva's the one that stands out for me.
Which one, sorry?
Bernardo Silva, the Portuguese. He's been playing attacking mid-winger, but yeah, he looks a bright talent. I think he'll move to a big club.
Yeah, he looked good last season and he's still carrying on, and then you've got Lamar, who's been heavily linked with both Juventus and Atletico Madrid, and the young lad Mbappe.
Oh yeah, he's very good on FIFA. If anyone plays on career mode,
yeah. Well, he apparently turned down a move to Real Madrid over the summer, and he's 17.
You think
I think he must have seen what happened to that Martin Odegaard. As soon as he signed for Real Madrid, he just took him to the Castilian side. But he didn't deny having any of that. But he was sort of like scored a hat trick midweek in a cup game.
Mm-hmm. I want to say about Saint Etienne. They've got a massive Europa League tie against Man United. I saw that the demand was ridiculous for that game, and they've had to suspend selling tickets. But massive tie for them. And they've also got Paul Pogba's brother, who plays centre back for them, Florentine Pogba. A nice story there for Saint Etienne.
Duffy Dabbs like him.
You'll have to score a goal against United to find out. Also, there's Lyon and Marseille, who were sort of, well, kind of a similar conversation, I guess, to what we said about the Italian league with the Milan clubs. Lyon and Marseille were like the big clubs back in the day. What did we make of their season so far? Currently fourth and sixth in the league.
I think it's just sort of they're tootling along merrily, but not pulling up houses for both clubs at the moment. I don't think there's anything that's sort of standing out for the pair of them that springs to mind. Is there anything you think?
I think Lyon mostly, they got one really good player, Alexander Lacazette. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to join West Ham. He was very strongly linked with West Ham. And I think if he joined West Ham, West Ham would not be would be a bit higher this season placed. I think he's a very good striker, one of France's best. Top tier France strikers, currently, in my opinion.
Was he injured for the Euros?
I think he was injured and he wasn't chosen. They chose that Andre Pierre did that over him.
Which was just the most bizarre choice.
Wasn't Gignac friends with the manager, or he formerly managed the friend Deschamps? Or is Deschamps?
He was a proper, he's my buddy.
Yeah.
Because he should never have been in the Euros ahead of your guidance.
Yeah, Lacazette. I think Lacazette, very good striker. Him, probably if West Ham, hopefully West Ham would want to sign him again in the future, I could see him setting the Premiership on fire if he does move. I want him to move. But I think Lyon, for 35 million for Lacazette, that's how much they were asking for. That's how much they rejected. I don't know how much more you want. You're not there 50 million for him. So I think they made a mistake not accepting that offer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's just one or two other leagues I want to talk about. And the Dutch league. Final top of the table. Ajax second, PSV third. But I think what's almost more interesting than the teams in that league is the players. Are there any players in that league which really stand out to you? I know the one I just want to mention first is Richard Lee Bezoa at Ajax, who's joining Wolfsburg in the January transfer window.
Yeah, he does look a very good player. And I know that it sort of announced that he was going to be leaving in the January transfer window a while ago. And I think a few clubs were keen, but Wolfsburg have snaffled him. And it's surprised he's going to Wolfsburg with the how Wolfsburg are currently doing this season, because I think he could have gone higher, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other players in the Dutch league which stand out?
The one for me who's also Ajax is, I think he's got a bit of a niggle at the moment, but the young striker up front, Dahlberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he scored quite a few for them this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got 8 goals so far, and I think, how old is he? 19. And he's already been thought of quite a lot by a lot of big clubs. Looks an exciting prospect for them.
Okay.
Old school centre-back. Centre-forward, sorry.
Uh-huh.
One of the most underrated players, in my opinion, he might not be one of the youngsters of Eredivisie, but Dirk Kuyt has been playing really good for the past 2 seasons for Feyenoord. If you look at his stats, 19 goals in 32 appearances last season and 6 in 14 this season so far. But I like the look of him. But even if he's 33, 34 years old, someone should sign him. 1-2 years in the Premiership. For Liverpool, he played good. But I think he's been playing really good so far.
He was linked with Barcelona last season when they had the transfer ban, or I think it was when they had the transfer ban or something. They were or fair play or something, but there were talks that they'd sign him last January, which would have been an incredible move for him. But I agree. He's been incredible for the last, well, this season and last.
Yeah, he's one of them players like Pete Lee, like for La Liga, one of the for what is Adolid. He's Pete Lee, like 32, 33 years old. Most players like the Pete Lee after 30 years old. Like those are the players that you have to watch out for.
Mm-hmm. Go on,
sorry, Tom. I want to quickly mention is the one that is on loan from Man City, that Enasu now.
Oh yeah.
He's looking an attractive prospect. He's playing at Twente at the moment.
Okay. There's just one final thing I want to mention, and that's in the Turkish league. The team which are top of that, Istanbul Başakşehir. I've done that as best I can. I hope that's not too horrific pronunciation. But they're the team top of the Turkish league. A couple of years ago, they only had like 100 fans go into their games, and now they're obviously top of the league, and beating the likes of Fenerbahce and Galatasaray and all the big boys over there. Their manager did an interview, and he got asked, "Are you like the Leicester of a Turkish league?" And he was saying, "No, that he's more like their team's more like Southampton because they believe in developing young players." And Leicester are 14th in the league, or they were at the time of the interview, and we don't want to be 14th next season. But it's a great story, and I'd suggest looking it up. Is there anything else across Europe? Obviously, there's a lot of different leagues, and we can't mention everything, but is there anything else anyone wants to mention?
The young Swedish lad, whose name escapes me at the moment, that had over 90 scouts come to watch him the other week.
Oh, yeah, Isaac, I think his name is.
Yes, Alexander Isaac. He's looking at a prospect.
Okay.
Yeah, the same is the next Ibrahimovic. So hopefully it could be as... if he's half as good as Ibrahimovic, then he's made for life, I think.
Yeah. Have you got anything you want to mention, Nads? Any team, any players, anything like that?
Just that everything's fine for Real Madrid. Any players... all I want is to wish Gareth Bale a speedy recovery. But then they need him for the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for joining me tonight. I've really, really enjoyed this show. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football and check out our website, v2football.com. It's good night from me, Anthony, and also from my guests, Richard Hero-Hudson and Nads. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.